Okay, we left off the Gemara yesterday in the middle of the Mishnayot in Kinim. The basic premise is we have a position of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua believes that one can take an olata of and make it totally and completely into chatat of. And that is because it has some unusual characteristics, has an unusual process which allows it to become the chatat of before it ever accesses olata of. And that is because you can take the olata of, you can do it the matami asikra, chut asikra. You can do it with the azat adam, and then the shechita, or the melika, of the chatat of only requires one siman, whereas the olata of requires two simanim. So you could be at the chatat of before you ever reach, before you ever enter into the zone of olata of. So Rabbi Shua's position is that someone who brings an olat of and does exactly like chatat of, it becomes a chatat of. The Gemara has been challenging Rabbi Yoshua from the main place where we have sugyot about ofot, and that is Masechet Kinim. The Gemara has been discussing the Mishnayot in Perek Gimel, which is the last Perek in Masechet Kinim, and the Mishnayot get more and more complex as you move through the Perek. The Gemara has two options to answer the questions that they raise against Rabbi Yoshua. The one option is to say the case that's spoken about in Masechet Kinim is not the same case that Rabbi Yoshua spoke about. That's one option. That's what they opted for when we discussed the first Mishnah from Kinim, is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. There the Gemara said that that case is different than our case because over there involved two women, as opposed to the case over here where we're involving one individual. If one individual has an olata of that is changed into a chatat of, that's fine because that's the same person. That's an individual who needs a chatat of as well. So it would work. Over there you're dealing with two women who shared in a korban, in a kan, they brought a pair of birds together. One of them needed the chatat of, and one of them needed the olat of. And then the Kohen either did kulan the malo, kulaman the matan, and he ruined one of them. But when he did kulan the matan, he ruined the olah. Well, you're going to say, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that kulan the matan, that olah should turn into a chatat. The problem is, the individual who brought the olah does not need a chatat, and has no interest in a chatat. They came, they need an olah, they need an olah tof, they don't need a chatat tof. And therefore, it's problematic, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, that olah tof from turning into a chatat tof. Then the Gemara moved on into the next series of Mishnayot. And over here, the Gemara's first attempt was to discuss the possibility that maybe this is not Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is not the author of the Mishnah in Kinim. And that came from the next case. The next case was where actually two women brought six birds together. One brought a chatat, one brought an olah. That was the one pair. There was a stuma. There was a pair that was undefined. And then there was a pair that was mifureshet, a pair that they defined as Allah and chatat. Then once again, we had a scenario where the Kohen did kulan the malo, and then we had a scenario where he did kulan the matan, and then we had a scenario where mechzel mechzel. So the case by kulan the malo, all the olot were fine, but all the chatot were problematic. That's okay. But the problem that we have for Rabbi Shua is that when he did kulan the mato, we said all the chatot are fine, but the olot are no good. Why should the olot be no good? This is Rabbi Yeshua's scenario of where you have an olah that was usurped and moved into being a chatat. So the Gemara says, okay, v'chi teima. So what do you want to see? That it's not Rabbi Yeshua. You want to say the Mishnah is not authored by Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara then brings the last Mishnah in Masechet Kinim, which is a Mishnah that gets ever more so complex as you move through the Mishnah. That's Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav. Now the Gemara is bringing the Mishnah not because it has any relationship to really anything we're doing in the sugya, because Rabbi Yeshua is mentioned as the last thing in that Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua's name is mentioned, so the Gemara wants to prove from that that Rabbi Yeshua is involved in Kinim, or at least he has some sort of authorship in Masechet Kinim. So the Gemara is going out of its way to do that, and then the Gemara answers the question in the final line of the Gemara. But you have to get from there, from here to there, you have to get through that Mishnah in Masechet Kinim. Again, not related to our Gemara.
No, you don't. You just have to get the last.
So here, the Mishnah began, which is what we began with yesterday, which is that Aisha Shamra, a woman comes along and says, I'm going to bring an extra pair of birds if I give birth to a Zachar. Where we have in Yana Dioma, right? So in Yalda Zachar, she gave birth to a male. She has to bring two pairs of birds. One pair of birds is Lechovata, which is an Olah and a Chatat. There's a second pair of birds that she's going to bring, which are Kanla Nidra. There, those are both going to be Olot. We're talking about a Neder. A Neder Nidava have to come as an Olah. There is no such thing as a Chatat. And therefore they come as olot. So in reality, she has to bring four birds, three of which are going to be olot, and one is a chatat. The Kohen goes ahead and does, instead of doing shlosh lamala and achat lamata, he goes ahead and does shtayim lamala, shtayim lamata. He does half above, half below the chut ha-sikra. He basically assumes that both pairs of birds are chovot. For instance, she's a yoledet bezovah, so she has to bring, for a yoledet and for a zavah, she's bringing pairs of birds. So in this case, one of the birds was problematic, which the one of the olot that she brought for a neder ended up below the chut ha-sikra, like a chatat. So she has to replace that. She has to replace that bird and bring back whatever min, whatever species she brought. For instance, she brought all torim, that she has to bring a tor to replace the tor that was from her neder that wasn't completed. That was the first case. The second case was a case where it got a little more complicated. It was the exact same scenario, but instead of being a case where she brought only from one type of birds, she actually brought two types of birds. Over here she brought both bnei yonah and torim. She hands them to the Kohen, and the Kohen does half above and half below. There's an additional complexity, which is that the Kohen doesn't know which ones he did first. He doesn't know if he did the bnei yonah first, or he doesn't know if he did the torim first. Why does it make a difference? Because whichever ones he does first are ola l'chova. Your chova is always discharged before you get to the neder. Whichever pair of birds he did first were the chova, and she was yotza. Yidei chovata with that, because he did one above and one below. Which is fine. That's what she needs for her chova, for her chatat. She needs a chatat, she needs an ola, and that's fine for yoledet. The problem is the second set. The second set, where it's for her to be mekayim her neder, that second set, he did one above, one below. The one above is an olah, that's fine, that's what she needed. But she needed a second olah, and he said he did a chatat. So that chatat has to be replaced. The problem here is we don't know what she needs to replace. Because we don't know if he did the bnei yonah or chova, and therefore the neder is the torim. Or the other way, the torim were the chova, and he needs to replace the bnei yonah. Therefore he brings one from each. He brings a bnei yonah and a tor, one of each to replace the neder, to fill in the neder that she had. And then the Mishnah moves on to the next subsequent case. The next subsequent case is where she was Pirshan Nidra. She explained her nether. Not only did she say that when I give birth to a Zachar, I'm going to bring a Kan Tziporim, she actually specified which type she would bring, whether it was a Ben Yonah or a Tor. I'm going to bring a pair of Torim, I'm going to bring a pair of Bnei Yonah, that's going to be my nether. So now she brings it to the Mikdash. Here again, she brought only one min. She brought one type. Now, truthfully, in reality, what she should have done, she should have brought three pairs of birds. One pair of birds was going to discharge her chovah. The other two pairs of birds were for her neder. They had to take care of her neder. One neder was the torim, and the other one was the bnei yonah, to be sure that which one. She didn't know which one, she said. So in reality, she should have brought six birds to the mikdash. Instead, she only brings four. She brings four birds, and she only brought it, say for instance, from Torim. She brought it from the pigeons. She goes ahead and brings two of those pigeons, are done, Ola, Chatat, that's her Chova, she's done. The second set of birds, again, the Kohen makes a mistake, puts one above, one below. So the Ola, Beseder, that's good. The Chatat, no good. But since we know that one of those pigeons is good, we have to bring a pair for that. We know what she brought, because she brought all of one min. So now she replaces the second tor from the pair that she brought, because that was missing. Plus she brings an additional pair of bnei yonah in order to ensure that she discharges her obligation with regards to her neder. And that's the case here of pirsha by min echad. When pirsha nidra by min echad, she has to bring an additional three birds. One to match with the tzad neder that the Kohen messed up, plus additional two bnei yonah to discharge her obligation with the neder. Now here, this is the last case on Samach Zayin and Bet, the last of our Chazara, which is the case where she was pirsha nidra, and then she had shnei minim. So in this instance, again, what she should have done was she should have brought six birds over here. She should have brought a pair of anything she wanted in terms of to discharge her obligation, the chovah aspect. And then for pirsha nidra, to take care of her neder, she should have brought a set of torim and a set of bnei yonah to be sure that she covered her neder. She again doesn't do that and brings two pairs of birds. She brings, this time, instead of bringing from one type of bird, all torim or all bnei yonah, this time she brings one pair of torim and one pair of bnei yonah. The Kohen again puts one above, one below. So now, as far as her obligation is concerned, as far as her chovah is considered, the chovah she discharged. Because it doesn't matter what min she brings. And the goyim did one as an olah, and one as a chatat. So for that situation, she's fine. The problem now becomes her neder. As far as her neder is concerned, we don't know what was brought as the second set of birds. We don't know if the Torim were brought as the second set or the Bnei Yonah. And either set that was brought, we know for sure that one of them was problematic. Because he put one of them below as a Chatat instead of an Olah. So now, technically, what she needs to do is replace the second Olah for each of these. She needs to bring the Olah, if it was Bnei Yonah, she has to get the match for the Ben Yonah. If it was the Torim that she brought, the second, she needs to make a match for the Torim. The problem is that in order to discharge her neder, she also has to bring a pair of the other type. So in order to ensure that she has a pair of both, in the end, she's going to have to bring both. She's going to have to bring a pair of Yonim and a pair of Torim in order to ensure that her neder is discharged. And that was the final case that we spoke about yesterday, which is Tavi Dalit. Tavi Dalit, she has to bring four predot in order to ensure that she's captured her neder in this case. Now the Gemara moves on to the next case. The next case, again, is more complex because we added an additional aspect here. The additional aspect here is that Kavan Nidra. Now, Kavan Nidra adds an additional dimension of complexity, which is that she said that when I bring my neder, I want it to be a part of the chovah. I want it to be a big package. I want to bring a big korban. So not only do I want to bring an additional pair of birds with my chovah, but I want it to be together with my chovah, so that I bring three olot together in a package. So that, again, if she did it right, it'd be very straightforward. Over here, she has to bring two for her chovah, and then four, two of each type, to discharge her neder. Because again, she was Kirshan Nidra. She went ahead and explained what she was going to bring. She forgot what she said. So in order to take care of the neder, she brings a pair of Torim and a pair of Neyonah to make sure she takes care of her neder. She's doing it in conjunction with her chovah, so she accomplishes Kavan Nidra. So if all of that's taken care of, if she went up front and did it right, she brought six birds up front, five olot, one chatat, and that would have been, everything would have been fine. The problem, there are two problems that happen here. One is, she only brought four birds. The second problem is that the Kohen went ahead and did two above and two below. So now, again, here we're discussing the first case is min echad. She only brought one type. So here she brings all pigeons, she brings all torim. So in terms of her chovah again, the chovah is discharged right away. The Kohen did one above, one below, which means she did an olah chatat. As far as her chovah is concerned, she's done. As far as her neder is concerned, one of them was problematic because one of them was done as a chatat instead of an olah. But now we've introduced another problem. She had insisted that when she brings her neder, that it be brought alongside of the chovah. Now the chovah, at the time she brought the chovah, these two birds didn't work out. So now, these birds are as if they were not brought at all.
Neither one of them did work.
Right, so one of them worked out, but it was done at a time with her chovah, but she said, I'll bring a pair of birds with my chovah, not just one bird with my chovah. So now she's... Correct. The chovah is absolutely fine.
How could she possibly fulfill the neder then? What's her obligation?
So there we go. So this is what the Gemara says here. We say that the neder fails. In order to restart her chovah, what she has to do is now bring another bird that matches with the olat chovata. So the Mishnah says that she brings a bird, exactly what she brought for olat chovata, she brings, and in addition to that, she's got to bring her neder. So in order to discharge her obligation, she's got to replicate her chovah, because the obligation is not necessarily to bring with the chovah, she wants to bring a big korban. I want to bring three olot that match up with my chovah. So what she does now is, since here we know she did everything with Torim, she brings another olat tor to match up with the chovah, to say the olah of her chovah. Then in addition to that, she now needs to discharge her obligations in regards to the neder. So that's the neder, she has to bring two bnei yonah plus two torim. So this is, she's going to have to bring five birds to discharge her obligation this time. One to get the chovah done again, to like replicate, that's what your question is, to restart the chovah, and then an additional four, two of each type, in order to discharge her neder.
It is.
It will be a nedava here, but to start this obligation, bring three olot together. Right, so that's what it does.
She has a problem as soon as she brings four instead of five.
And six. I mean, she would have had to replicate because she would have to bring the bnei yonah. She would have to bring three birds in the next section instead of five. But yes, create herself a problem by only bringing four and not six. All right, so that's the easy one because that's min echad. What happens now when she does it, bit shnei minim? Instead, not only we're going to ask, we have an additional aspect here, which is that she, not only did she say Pirsha Nidra, she said what I'm going to bring, Vikava Nidra, and she says I wanted to do it along with the obligation, but then she also brought two minim. She brought to the Kohen, instead of bringing the six she was supposed to, she only brought four. But she brought the four, one pair of Torim and one pair of Bnei Yonah. And the Kohen goes ahead and he does them, and he has no recollection which one he did first. So now she has no idea which one was done for the chova and which one was done for the neder because we don't know which one went first. Again, with regards to the chova, she's discharged her obligation no matter what. There was an olah chatat that was brought. That's fine. She's discharged her obligation. The chova is done. The problem is in terms of her neder. In terms of her neder, it didn't matter which one came second, one of those birds was problematic because it was done as a chatat instead of an olah. That bird that is problematic, the second bird that was okay is no longer good, just like in the first case, because it's not matched up with her chova. She said, I'm bringing my neder along with my chova. That means a pair of birds with my chova. She doesn't have a pair of birds anymore. So now she's got to restart. She's got to make up for olat chovata, but we don't know what her olat chovata was. Her olat chovata could either have been from a tor, or could have been a ben yonah. So to start with, she has to bring a single tor and a single ben yonah to be her olat chovata, or replicate her olat chovata. In addition to that, to discharge her nether, she now has to bring a pair of birds from each type. She's got to bring a pair of torim and a pair of bnei yonah. So that's what the Gemara says now at this point, which is kava nidra. If it was one min, which we discussed now, she's got to bring five extra birds. One which matches whatever type she brought, whatever species she brought for her chova. That will be the one that she replicates once. Then she's got to bring a pair of torim and a pair of bnei yonah. That's the five. Umi bet minim, which we discussed now, if she brings from two different types, tavi sheish, she's got to bring six birds. Because she has to bring two for her chova, because we don't know which one was her chova. And then additional four for her nether, two torim and two bnei yonah to be her nether. As if this wasn't enough. And we go on to the next case here, which becomes extremely complicated. And this, I'm going with Rashi right now. I just, did you know? Right, exactly. Now, till now it was pretty straightforward. So now we're going to get more complicated now because I'm going with Rashi's pshat. Tosfos says that Rashi is wrong. He doesn't need to have kavan nidra. You can look in the Shita Mekubetz. It spends time on it and explains why he thinks it's a better pshat without kavan nidra. The Rambam himself in Perush Mishnah gives a totally different bearish to the Mishnah. One of Rashi's underlying assumptions in the Shita Mekubetz that discusses this is that whenever you bring a neder, you have to bring from the same pair. Whatever you bring the first one of your neder from, you have to bring the second one. If you bring your neder from a ben yonah, then the pair for that must be a ben yonah. You can, if you say a neder, bring one ben yonah and one tor. And that's Rashi's underlying assumption in the whole sugya and the whole Mishnayot here, and that's the way we're explaining the Mishnah. Obviously, if you don't believe that, that would change the dynamic of what you bring and what you need to bring for the second grouping. That's if you look in the Shita Mekubetz at the end of the Sefer Shmatot, there he discusses this issue, and that's why Tosfos says maybe you don't have to be kavan nidra. The Rambam again has a different pshat here. We're going to go with Rashi's pshat that this last case involves is a continuation of what was happening in the Mishnah. Number one, it was an ishash nidra that when she eled zachar, I'm going to bring. Number one. Number two is Pirsha Nidra. She specified what she was going to bring for a neder. And number three is Kava Nidra. That she also said that I'm going to bring it along with my Olat Chova. Now, she goes ahead and she brings four birds to the Mikdash, hands them to the Kohen. She has no clue what she brought to the Kohen. She hands them the birds, but she doesn't know what she brought to the Kohen. Then, Natana the Kohen. So this is the case here. Natana the Kohen. She gives them to the Kohen and has no idea what she gave. Halacha Kohen. And then on top of that, to compound the problem, the Kohen went basa. He did. He doesn't have no clue what he did. So you have two people who have no clue what happened. All we know is that four birds ended up in the Mikdash. And so now, in terms of permutations, right, there are four permutations of what she could have brought here. At least according to Rashi, where everything's brought as pairs. The four permutations are either she brought everything from the Torim. So you have four Torim. Two of them were brought for Chobata, and two of them were brought the Nidra, which is what should have happened. The other possibility is that she brought a pair of Bnei Yonah and a pair of Torim. And the Bnei Yonah were brought first for a Chova, and the Torim were brought second for a Nidra. the same combination could have been in reverse, which is that the Torim could have been first, and then the Bnei Yonah would have been brought as a neder. The last of the permutations is that she brought four Bnei Yonah, and therefore they were Khan. One of the Khan was Chova was Bnei Yonah, and the neder was also Chova. So here's the four permutations of the possibilities, what could have happened. Now in terms of what she should have done, let's say what she should have done. What she should have done at this point was ignoring her Chova, assuming that she got the Chova right. We don't know that yet. Right now we'll make the assumption that the Kohen did a lot and a chatat for each one pair that was brought. If that was true, what she needed to do to discharge her neder was to bring a pair of Torim and a pair of Bnei Yonah. In order to be sure that she had discharged her obligation at this point, she should have brought six birds. Two for a chova, and then another four for her neder, in order, because we don't know if it was Bnei Yonah, we don't know if it was Torim. So at this point again, she's going to have to bring an additional four birds right off the bat, because we don't know if she took care of her nether. We have no idea what happened with those second birds, and therefore she's going to bring four, a pair of Bnei Yonah and a pair of Torim, the Pirshan Nidra, to make sure that she got her nether covered. That's number one, what she's going to have to do. But then we introduce the other possibilities. The other possibilities is that the Kohen messed up. In terms of what the Kohen did, let's start with the first possibility. What happened if the Kohen did all of them Lamata? He did all of them as Chataot. So now, all the birds are problematic. No matter which permutation you brought here, all the birds are problematic, because she took olot, he did hook olot and made them into chataot. All the olot are no good. So in that instance, of course she has to bring a pair of nidarim to take care of her neder, because she didn't get her neder taken care of whatsoever. So that's why she has to bring a pair of bnei yonah, bnei of torim, which is what we said before. In addition to that, she's going to have to bring an additional two olot to be her chova over here. Because if he did everything lamata, no olot was good. No olot good. Only the chataot were good.
That's a question about Rabbi Yeshua.
Everything's a question about Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara again is not after a question of Rabbi Yeshua. They just want to know that Rabbi Yeshua is the author of this Mishnah, which is going to be the last line here. So here, now, she has her chataot are good. The underlying assumption of the Gemara at this point, and this is the position of the Chachamim, that kol olei chachar chatat. With every species you brought for the chatat, you must bring the olah to match that. So now I have some chatot. He did everything below the chutas sikra. I have chatot that were brought. I'm just not sure what he brought for the chatat. I'm not sure if the chatat was a tor or was a ben yonah. So now I'm going to have to bring an additional two birds to be the olot chova over here. The olot chova are going to be either a tor or a ben yonah. Olot and ben yonah to match up with the chatat that was brought over here. So that's the next stage. So far I have four birds to pirshan nidra to take care of her neder. I have an additional two birds that now are going to be for her olat chovota. But then there's another possibility. That's not the only possibility that the Kohen could have done here. He could have messed up. And he could have done chetzion namala and chetzion namata. He could have done half above and half below. Well, if he did half above and half below, her chova was fine. Everything in her chova was good, because then he did half of, he has an olah and a chatat. The problem is now with her neder. The tzad neder didn't work, because he did one above, one below, and she was kavan nidra. So over here again, I'm going to need a bird, a single bird, either a ben yonah or a tor, to be koveya chovata, kviat chovata. Now this could be the same two birds we brought before for olat chovata, because they're both possibilities. The Kohen either did them all below, or he did half above, half below. The same two birds I used before for olat chovata, if she doesn't need olat chovata, like in this case, will then instead be for kviat chovata, like we did before in the cases where she needs to be kavan nidra. Even when she was kavan nidra, she has to bring the same olah she brought for chova again in order to have it to be a big package. So again, she needs a pair of birds, an olah of a ben yonah or a tor. The last possibility, this is introduces the new dimension that we've had in the other Mishnayot, is what if he did kulan namalo? What happens if the Kohen did all of them above the chuta sikra? He does all of them above the chuta sikra. As far as the olot are concerned, everything is fine. The problem now are the chataot. The chataot, we have no chatat, so she's missing her chova in terms of the chatat. Now again, if he does kulan namalo, in terms of her olah, the chova, done. In terms of olah, the neder, at least one pair of the birds is done, because they were brought on note and they brought along with the olah of her chova. So as far as one, we don't know what the other pair is, so she's going to have to bring two pairs again anyway to discharge her neder, because we just don't know which one was brought. But she'll also need a chatat. Now, according to the Chachamim, the chatat is koveya, what species. Therefore, you only need one chatat here. You only need one chatat, because it doesn't matter which one the olah was. Whatever the olah was, irrespective, because the chatat is koveya, the species. So we don't really care what you did beforehand for the olah. We care now you bring one chatat from whatever species you want. And remember, she's bringing an additional two birds afterwards, a Torah and a Ben Yonah, in addition to the four for a neder, that will be the match for the Chatat. If you think it's the wrong species, that Olah will take care of being the match for the Chatat. But otherwise, we no match. So according to the Chachamim, we only need one Chatat over here. That brings us to the sum total, which is what the Chachamim suggests over here. The Chachamim suggests over here that we need seven birds. You need four birds, a pair of each type, to discharge your neder. You need two singles, a Torah and a Ben Yonah, to either be her Olat Chovata, or to be Koviat Chovata. That'll be an additional two birds, that's six birds, plus one Chatat, that gives you seven birds that she needs to bring over here, according to the Chachamim. Ben Azai adds in an additional dimension here. Ben Azai says, no, whichever of your Chovaut is brought first, that's Kovea the species. It's not the Chatat that's Kovea over here. It's whichever one of your Chovaut was brought first, either the Ola or the Chatat. So over here, your Ola was brought already. When he did Kulan the Malach, he did everything above, all the Olot were brought, and including your Olat Chova. Now I need to match the Chatat with the Ola, which was brought first. So Ben Azai says, no, you need to bring two Chatot, one of each species, in order to match whichever Ola was brought along the case. So this is the last case in the Mishnah, obviously the most complicated of the cases, and here you can see it. This is the Gemara, we'll read it inside now, which is, Natanan the Kohenin, Vele Yodah Matnah. She didn't know what she gave. Halach HaKohen Vasayim Vele Yodah Masah. Tzrichat Dalet Predim Lini Drash. She needs four birds to discharge her obligations in regards to a nether. Shtayim the Chovatah. She needs an additional two birds. One will be one Tor, one Ben Yonah, to be her Chovah. Again, this could either be because he did everything below the Chodesh Sikra and she has no Chovot whatsoever, and she needs an Olah Chovah, or he could have done everything right in terms of the Olot, but she needs for her neder to be together with the neder, she needs Kviat Chovata. Or in the last case, where he has to bring the new Chatat, whatever species he brought the Chatat from, he has to match the Olah with afterwards, so that'll be for the match. V'chatat achat. And we saw below, he needs one Chatat, because the Chatat is Koveya, not the Olah. Ben Azai Omer, no, you need two Chatot, because if the Olah was brought first, I need to match the species, therefore I need to bring Chatat from each species. What will work out now is, you have a machlokas between the Chachamim and Ben Azai, as to whether you bring seven birds or eight birds. According to Chachamim, you bring seven birds, four l'nidra, two l'chobata, and one l'chatata. And over here, according to Ben Azai, you bring four l'nidra, two l'chobata, and then two l'chatata. So the difference between seven and eight, which actually makes a difference in the Mishnah and Kinim, here, less so does it make a difference, because the Gemara doesn't quote the last part of the Mishnah. But I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Zer Shamru, this is what they say, Kishuchai, when the animal is alive, kolo echad, it makes one sound. Ukushu mate, when he dies, it makes seven sounds. What are the seven sounds that it makes? The Mishnah in Kinim actually goes through the items here. Rashi brings it down for us about what the items are, which is, number one, bet karnav, it's two horns. The Mishnah there says bet chatzotzrot. They use either, whether chatzotzrot is interchangeable to shofar, that means they really be used for shofarot, or chatzotzrot, not silver chatzotzrot, but natural chatzotzrot, trumpets that were used. Beis shokav, thigh bones are used with beis chalilim for flutes. They take the bone, they hollow it out, and they can be used as flutes. Oro, the skin can be used for a tof, for the drum. Then you have me'ayim, the innards. Here, I don't know if it's the intestines or the stomach can be used, linivalim, for a harp.
You mean the sinews?
The sinews, right, the stringy parts can be used. And then b'nei me'av, which sound like the small intestine, or something like that. I don't know what exactly, it's a sub-me'av, so I assume it means the intestines of some sort. Again, the sinews in there can be used, the kinorot. So those for the lyres. So these have, all these instruments can be made out of the animal. So you have seven instruments that can be made out of the animal. So again, when it's alive, it makes one sound. When it's dead, it makes seven sounds. The Mishnah continues in Kinim. It says, V'yeshomim atzmaro l'techelet. That even its semer, its wool, can be used for techelet. Well, what's techelet? Everybody explains over there that Tchelet is for the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol, which had Pamon V'rimon on it, that made a sound when he went into, when he walked. So that was a noise. Why is the difference? Well, the first part says seven. The second one says eight. If you have eight instruments, so that would be the Chachamim and Ben Azai. The Chachamim say she has to bring seven birds, and Ben Azai says she has to bring eight birds. Now, the truth is that, according to Rashi, it's not so simple, because according to Rashi, if she did it right up front, she would have to brought six birds. And then she messes up. She has to bring, according to Chachamim, seven birds. And according to the Ben Azai, she has to bring eight birds. The truth is that if she did it right up front, she would have to brought six. It's not one and then to get to seven or eight. But the truth is she did bring four birds in the meantime. So it's not just that she's bringing four, seven birds or eight birds. The answer is really being 11 birds or 12 birds. So it really is significantly dead. There is a lot more. The Shidduch Mekubetzin, in discussing the other Pshatim without Rashi, without Kavod Nidra, suggests that she could have brought a lot less up front. She could have brought three or four up front, and then that would be significant that she got to seven and eight afterwards. It would have been much less than the six up front versus what Rashi says. But that the point of Rabbi Yeshua is that here, if she'd done it right, she would have brought a lot less birds. The fact that she messed up, and then she tried to give in only four instead of six birds, and then everybody got mixed up, she ends up bringing a lot more in the end instead of doing what was right up front.
She can't bring that and say, oh, let's forget what we did in the beginning. No, that's a start from scratch.
Can't, because she's discharged part of her obligation. That's the problem. She's brought possibilities, she's brought her chataot already, and you can't bring a chatat willy-nilly. That's the problem. But might be true, and that this is the only korban chatat that is brought ala safek. Chatat ha'of is the only korban that is permitted to be brought in the mikdash bisafek. So you can bring, even though here, technically, if you have a chatat bisafek by a behema, you cannot bring that. Because you can't bring chulun le'azara, and if you're not obligated a chatat, you can't bring it. So you can't bring a chatat al-tznai, because a chatat doesn't come as a neder. The one exception to that rule is chatat ha'of. All these chataot here, you have one chatat by the chachamim, two by ben azai, what are called chataot asafekot, it's an oaf, and chatat oaf is safek, it is brought but not eaten. The kohanim do not eat it, but it's allowed to be brought into the mikdash, which is an exceptional case, and that's what allows her to get out of the problem here. Is that she's allowed to bring a chatat bisafek. Now, what do you see from this? This is what was all brought for Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is the last statement in the Mishnah in Kinim, and there you can see that Rabbi Yeshua, Shmamina Kinim, Rabbi Yeshua Amra. You can see from this Rabbi Yeshua was the author of Kinim, or at least was a partial part of, or acquiesced to the situation that was mentioned in the Mishnah in Kinim. If that's the case, we have questions, many questions on Rabbi Yeshua. You're saying before, oh, this is a question, the whole Mishnah is a question, Rabbi Yeshua, because anytime he did an olat oak below, you should just assume that it's fine. It was a chatat oak below. Here's the answer of the Gemara. So the answer, yes, Rabbi Yeshua is the author, but Imar Dam Rabbi Yeshua la fuka midei mi'ila, the mesech le dechova mi'amar. Rabbi Yeshua said that when I say an olat oak can be totally transformed into a chatat oak, all I said was that it's enough of a chatat oak that when you do malika, it's no longer a nevela. It takes away the tum'ah from the animal. It's such a good chatat that it's no longer a nevela. But I didn't say it's so good a chatat that it can be discharged your obligation, that it can really be a chatat, and you'll be yotze with that chatat. That I didn't say. So that's the way the Gemara answers the difference between Masechet Kinim. Masechet Kinim, we're talking about, did she get a chatat that was discharging her obligation? The answer is no. Even if you put an olah below and make it into a chatat, that chatat is not enough of a chatat to make you, or to be yotze yidei chovato. On the other hand, in terms of you not making it to nevela, which is what Yeshua is discussing in our Mishnah, that's enough to do it over here. All right, now we have the Gemara, which will flow a lot easier now that we've gotten through Masechet Kinim, which is Kol HaPsulim Shemalku Melikatam Psula. That any pasul that does Melika, the Melika is Psula, Veinu Metamei B'Beit HaBelilah. Nevertheless, when it is done, the Melika is done, then it doesn't Metamei B'Beit HaBelilah, means that it doesn't accept Tumah. It's enough to be Metayeret from its Tumah. Malak b'smol o b'layla. If he did malika with his left hand, it's supposed to be done with his right hand. O b'layla was done at night. All of Odan and Mikdash is done during the day. Then, or shechat chulim b'fenim. He took an animal of chulim, a bird of chulim, brought it into Mikdash and did it inside with malika. B'kodshim b'chutz. Or he took kodshim and did it outside the Mikdash. Einan mitamot b'beit ha'bliya. None of these are mitamim b'beit ha'bliya. In each instance, the avodah, the melika, was done over here, is enough to be mitaheret from being a nevela. On the other hand, malak b'sakin, if he used a knife instead to do the melika, melika is done by the finger of the kohen, not by a knife. The reason why it's not done by a knife, here Rashi and Tosafot disagree about what the issue is. Rashi says either b'kibrei doresu machlid, either puts too much pressure on it and then he slides through, or he sticks the knife in. Instead of cutting, he inserts the knife in order not to cut the rova basar. Because once he cuts rova basar, the animal is a trefa, and therefore he can't do shkita anymore because it's coming from behind the neck. So that's the problem. Tosu says that the problem is actually a problem machlid, that he's coming from the simanim backwards. He's coming in from the siman from the back of the neck, and that's the problem with the knife, that you can't do it. So there's a problem. If he did it with sakin, malak chulin bifnim. On the other hand, if he did chulin inside the migdash, v'kodshim b'chutz. On the other hand, he did kodshim outside. So if he did a malika on the chulin inside the migdash, or he did kodshim b'chutz, and he did it on the kodshim outside the malika, did outside, torim shelo higia zmanam, he did a torim before they reached the time that they were ready to be karbonot, ubnei yonah shavar zmanam, or bnei yonah that are too old. Bnei yonah, as they suggest, bnei, have to be young doves. They have to be young pigeons, young doves. Otherwise, Torim have to be older. How do I know the Torim have to be older? Because they're not called B'nai Torim, they're called Torim. So how do I know when they're older or younger? Their turnover point is the same thing, which is mentioned in Gemara and Chulin, is Yatz'ivu. When they get this yellow in their feathers. So the yellow in the feathers for the B'nai Yonah means they're too old. And the yellow in the feathers for the Torim means that they're too young, they're about to turn into being older. So pigeons have to be older, and the B'nai Yonah have to be younger. If the B'nai Yonah are too old, or the Torim are too young, they cannot be brought as bright as Kodshim. So all of these cases, Shiyavsha Gafa, or if the wings are dried up, when he's made they now, one of the eyes is missing. Shinikta ragla, or one of the legs is cut severed. Mitamei bebeit habila. All these cases, the melika, whatever is being done, is no good, and it does not mitaher it from being a nevela. It is a nevela in this case, and therefore if you eat from this, it will be mitamei your body when you swallow. That's where tumat nevela comes up with an oaf tahor. That's tumat nevela is only when you swallow it. So that will be mitamei because it's not mitaher it. What's the klal here? Zeh klal. Kol shepsulo bekodesh, anything that is pasul bekodesh, inu mitamei bebeit habliya. If the psul is in the kodesh, then it's not mitamei bebeit habliya. Lo yapsulo bekodesh, mitamei bebeit habliya. If it's not bekodesh, then it is mitamei. So let's explain this. Number one is, with regards to a bird that is missing an aver, missing a limb, that is pasul. Even though we said before by birds, there is no tamuto, zichruto, they don't have to be males, they don't have to be tamim, they don't have all the requirements of a behema. Nevertheless, mechuser aver, if they're missing a limb, that is too much. Rashi says, why? Because it says, hakriveu na lepechatcha, hayitzeh Hashem imlo. It says, the Pasuk of the Navi says, that if you bring your lowly, your worst stuff to Hashem, you think He's going to want it? How could you bring the dregs to Hashem? So Rashi says it's an inappropriate karban because you're bringing an aver, something without an aver. Tosfos, every time Rashi says this, he said it a number of times in our Masechta, Tosfos says, no, that's not it. There's a limud in the Gemara in Kiddushin. It says, min ha'of, that you can bring your karban min ha'of. Min ha'of means v'lo kol ha'of. Some birds, but not all birds. What are the birds you can't bring? Prat, le, yavesh gafa, the wings dried out, mechuser eiver. These are the exceptions to the rule. Tosa says there's a limud at the pasuk that you can't do it. And you don't need hakriveo na lepechatcha. That's wrong, Rashi. In addition to that, Tosfos asks, he asks it here, he also asks in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, when we learned Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that even for a Ben Noach, mechuser eiver is a problem. Missing a limb is a problem even for a Ben Noach who brings a korban. He doesn't have a problem with Balei Mum, but he has a problem with Mechus Eiver. Well, if a Ben Noach has it, then Kal Vachomer that we should have a problem. Why do you need a Pasuk at all? So Tosfos answers that had we not known the Pasuk by Israel, then we would never use the Pasuk for a Ben Noach. Because the Gemara says back in Avodah Zarah, and basically in Sanhedrin as well, that anything that is said once in the Torah, that's only for Bnei Israel. If it's said twice, once by the before Bnei Israel were Bnei Israel, and once later on, then there are two dinim, one for the Ben Noach, and one for Bnei Israel. So had the Torah only mentioned the din by Ben Noach, we would no longer assume that it was just the din for the Bnei Noach. We would assume there was a Jewish din, and the Bnei Noach had no din. So the Torah has to repeat it in order to ensure that the first time is for Ben Noach, and the second time is for Bnei Israel. Tosfos gives other possibilities about why you couldn't make such a kal vachomer. The second thing is kol shepsula b'kodesh. Again, here in Rashi and Tosfos disagree a number of times in the Masechta. Rashi says kol shepsula b'kodesh means shebal le'azara, that the psul happened after he came to the azara. If the psul happened before you reached the azara, that's psulo shelo b'kodesh. If the psul happens while you're in the azara, that's called psulo b'kodesh. Rashi defines the psul b'kodesh or lo b'kodesh as whether it happens while you're in the azara or before you reach the azara. Tosfos in other places, and he brings it here again, is that kol the psulo b'kodesh haino kol psulo kasher bi'alma b'kodesh. That means it's something, it's a very large tosis over here in the middle of that tosis he mentions here, it's something that otherwise would have been kosher. Somewhere else in Kodesh, it would have been fine. It's just in this instance, there's a problem with this piece of Kodesh. So, instance, if I brought another korban and it had this problem, there's, for some reason it would have been let through. Over here, in this particular case, it's not allowed. That's called psula b'kodesh, something that otherwise would have been allowed. He brings another possibility here, which he doesn't bring in other places, which is that it has to do with anything that is done after the point of shchita. As long as the shchita is done, nitkadesh b'kli, there was kiddush b'kli, and the shchita is done, anything that is a psul after that point in time is called psula b'kodesh. Anything that happens at that point or before is called psulo shelo b'kodesh. In order for it to be kodesh, you have to have shchita, and you have to have a kli sharet. Without those, it never reaches the point of kodesh. So therefore, anything before that point or at that point is called psulo shelo b'kodesh, because you never reach the point of kedusha. If it gets past that point, then everything is psulo kodesh. Tosfos had mentioned earlier in the sechta a little more expansive view, which is something that does not apply to chulin. When I say kos psulo kodesh, means something that is unique to kodshim. It's unique to kodshim, and it's not something that you would otherwise apply to a behemat chulin. A behemat chulin would never have this issue. It's something that's only applicable to a Behema of Kodesh. And so again, it's a little more expansive, but the same view here, which is that somewhere else in Kodesh it would have been okay, but here it's problematic. So that's the summary of the Mishnah. Now, Amar Rav, small v'layla, emitamim v'beit abila. Rav says that a left hand and layla and nighttime, emitamim v'beit abila. Zar v'sakin, on the other hand, when you come to, if a zar does it, or a sakin is done by a knife, mitamim v'beit abila. So Rav says, Mishnah small. Why is small not problematic with Beit Abliyadi? They akshay Rabbi Yom Kippurim. Because your left hand is used on Yom Kippur. When the Kohen goes to life and I have the Fnim of the Ketoret on Yom Kippurim, he has to take the coals in one hand and he has to take the Ketoret in his other hand. So the left hand is used sometimes in the Mikdash. So therefore it's kosher here, even though technically it's no good over here and the Korban is not a good Korban. Since we see in other places in Kodesh that small is good, therefore over here it'll also be good. Why is that? Because the basic premise is Im Alu Lo Yerdu. If they end up on Mizbeach after you did this, we won't take them off the Mizbeach. What's the qualification for him, Alu Lo Yerdu? Qualification for that is whether it was used some other time in Kodesh. We find a Hechsher in Kodesh somewhere else. And Tosfos spends time here explaining that this probably is the position of Rabbi Shimon. We're going to get to later on in the Masech, there's Machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, that this is probably the position of Rabbi Shimon, who believes in all these cases, Alu Lo Yerdu. V'layla, ilay hechsher Rabbi Evarim u'Bdarim. And by Laila, we also have something of Avodah that's done at night, which is the placement of the Avarim and Bdarim on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Arnami, Ilei Echshera B'Shechita, Azar can do Shechita. So therefore, why isn't Azar considered to be also something that's Echshera B'Kodesh? It's Mutar. So the Gemara says here, like in other places, Shechita Lav Avodah Hi. Shechita is not an Avodah. Why is Shechita not an Avodah? Rashi says earlier in the Masechta that Shechita is not an Avodah, and Taf Yudah, because Azar does it. Since you see that Azar does it, that proves to you it's not an Avodah. If it was an Avodah, the Kohen would have to do it. The fact that Azar does it shows you that it's not a Avodah. Tosfos does not like that, because he said that's somewhat circular. Because the Gemara there says, Shechita is not Avodah, therefore Azar can do it. So what do you mean if Azar can do it, therefore it's not an Avodah? So Tosfos says, no. I'll tell you why Shechita is not Avodah. He says, because another Gemara further on, after that Gemara on Yudalit, the Gemara says that Shechita has different dinim than other dinim. For instance, by Kabbalat Adam, when you do Kabbalat Adam, not only do you have to be Mekabel Adam, the receptacle has to be inside the Azara, the Mekabel himself has to be inside the Azara. There the Gemara says that both Mekabel and the Kabbalat Adam have to be done inside the Azara. By Shechita, that's not true. By Shechita, the Shechita has to be done inside the Azara or B'tzafon, but the Shochet does not have to be in the Tzafon or inside the Azara when he does the Shechita. That difference also shows you that they're not Avodah. I know what the rules are for Avodah. Rules are for Avodah, like by Kabbalat Adam. Both the Avodah and the person executing the Avodah have to be in the same location. The fact that Shechita doesn't require that shows you that Shechita is not an Avodah. The fact that the Shochet can be outside and do Shechita on an animal inside, or the Shochet can be in the Darom and the animal in the Tzafon, shows you that that's not an Avodah. So Tosfos says, you can see here in the details of the Lacha. The Shechita is not Avodah. Gemara says below, Gemara asked the same thing before when the Gemara said that Shechita is not Avodah. Amar Rav Zeira Shechitat Parah B'Zar. The Parah Aduma is an Avodah and it cannot be done by Zar. Psula. Amar Rav Zeira Shechitat Parah B'Zar Psula. That by Parah Aduma, if a Zar does it, it's Psula. Umichavi Rav Allah, and Rav says over there, you're right. You know why? Because Parsha Paro Duma says that's to be done by Elazar. Elazar, a Kohen, was the Kohen Gadol at that time. And it says the word Chukah. And the word Chukah is La'akev. Whenever you say the word Chukah, it's a repetition of what was said there, and it makes it La'akev. So that means Elazar, a Kohen, is the Ikuv. That means Kohen Gadol, the Ikuv over here for Paro Duma. And Zar is Pasul. Well, if it's not an Avodah, then why is the Zar Pasul by doing the Shechita? Mar says, Shani Parah, because she better Kabayiti. It's a very proof from Parah Adumah. Parah Adumah is not Kodshei Mizbeach. Parah Adumah is Kodshei Berek Abayit. Kodshei Berek Abayit. How can you bring me a proof to it? The Gemara says, V'lo Kol Techeinu. And then it becomes a Kal V'chomer. Kodshei Berek Abayit. Vahu Kehuna. Kodshei Mizbeach Mibayit. If Kodshei Berek Abayit require Kehuna, certainly Kodshei Mizbeach should require Kehuna. So why is it not classified as an Avodah? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshi Breid Rav Yidi, Midi Hava Amarot Nigayim. Just because you require a Kohen is not a proof that it is an Avodah. Why? Because Marot Nigayim, A Kohen has to see the Nega. Like Sarat, the only person who can declare Nega Tahor Tameh is a Kohen. And he has to see it. The Lava Vodhi, everybody knows that looking at Negaim is not an Avoda. Ubayi Kehuna. And nevertheless, it still requires a Kohen to do it. So the same thing over here. Paraduma is not an Avoda, but it requires it. It's a Gzerat HaKatuv that a Kohen is required for Paraduma. You can't prove anything from Paraduma. The reason the Gemara wants to use Paraduma is because even though Paraduma is Kinche, Kodshe, Berkabayit, it's still classified as a Chatat. The Gemara, the Torah calls it a Chatat. So therefore, a lot of times the Gemara will use it or ask questions from it on regular Karbanot because it's classification as a Chatat, even though it's done outside of the Mikdash. Right, so the Gemara says, V'nilef mi bama. Wait a minute, we do have a case where a zar is kasher, and that's by a bama. So it says, mi bama lo yalif. You can't learn from a bama. Bama is outside of the context of mikdash. You can't prove anything from a bama. Velo, you can't learn from a bama. Batanya, we have a braita. Minai ni yotzei, shima la lo yereid. How do I know that something was taken outside of its confines in the mikdash? Vitzich, kochi kodashim were taken out, or the emurim of the kochim kodashim were taken out of the azara, and they were yotzei, chutz lim komo. How do I know if then they were put on the mizbeach that we don't take them down? Shari yotzei kasher be bama. By bama, there's no inyan of Yotzei. There are no boundaries by Abama. Since Yotzei is kasher b'Abama, therefore when I put it on the Mizbeach and the Mikdash, even though it shouldn't have gone there, I don't take it off. So I prove something from Abama. Mar says, no, Tana zot torat olat samichle. Our Tana is not using Bama as his source for that, but rather a Gemara we're going to get to later on. The Pasuk says, zot torat ha'ola, Torah achat b'chol ha'olim. There's one Torah for all those that go up, shalo yared, that they don't come down. That anything that's put on the mizbeach doesn't come down. We do know that there's certain items coming down. There the Gemara discusses that Zot, Torah, and Ha'ula, all, each one of them is a miut for a certain item. The Gemara discusses what things are accepted from that, including things that psulan shalo b'kodesh. Things that didn't have their psul b'kodesh. For instance, Ne'avad, Kilayim, Etnan Zona, all these things that are pasul to come from before they ever entered into the Azara, before, nothing that's pasul for all Kodesh. All of those items can't end up in Mizbeach. Those are three exceptions, three mutim from the pasuk over there. But the source for him is the pasuk and not the bama. So Rav makes a distinction between small, left-handedness, and Laila, which are good, and they end up on the Mizbeach, they were made on the Mizbeach, and they will not be Mitameh, versus Zar and Sakin, which are, number one, won't, if Alu Yerdu, they should be taken down, and number two is, if they are, they're not Mitameh, Beita Blia. Now, Amar, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Zar, Enu Mitameh, Beita Blia. By a Zar, it does not, it also helps. A Zar who does it, it's not Mitamei Beit HaBliya, and it's not Nevela. Sakin, Mitamei Beit HaBliya. On the other hand, a knife does Mitamei Beit HaBliya. It's not. So our Mishnah. Again, in our Mishnah, it's interesting, there are parentheses on this piece in our Mishnah. I read it because the Gemara here does quote it. There's some question as to where it should be found in our Mishnah. But it's not. Kol ha-psulim shemalku melikatam psula. Any pasul who does melika, their melika is psula. So that is mat. Bishlam ala Rabbi Yochanan kol le'atu yezar. Who's the kol over here? The kol is to include a zar. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, zar is aim matem b'leit b'liya. That's why it's found in our Mishnah. Where's Rab coming to include here? Lav le'atuye small v'layla. According to Rab, it's coming to include small and layla. They are, if they are done, the malika was done with your left hand or at night, that it's still not mitamei. Small v'layla behedjek tani. Our Mishnah explicitly mentioned small and layla. What do you need kol to be merabes? Something that's already mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, tani v'hadr mefarish. No, that's exactly what happened. The Tana gives you a general view. And in that general view, he's including small and layla. Then he's mefarish. He gives you the details of what I meant in that inclusion. What does it mean, kol apsulim? Kol apsulim includes small, includes layla. So it's a general statement, and then you have the details afterwards. He gave a klal, and now you're giving the pratim in the Mishnah. That's how Rab's going to read the Mishnah. Right now, the Gemara says, Tashma, zeh klal. This is the last line in our Mishnah. Kol sheya psulo b'kodesh, enu mitamei b'gadim e'beit ha'bliya. So anything that was psulo b'kodesh is not mitamei b'gadim e'beit. Bishlam ala Rabbi Yochanan kol, what is called a tuyei zar. That kol comes to include the zar again. Zar, which is not mentioned in our Mishnah, the kol will include him. Hello, the Rav, la tuyei mai. According to Rav, what are you including over here? Gemara says, ulitameich. You think according to Rabbi Yochanan it's so easy? Shaloi apsulo b'kodesh la tuyei mai. What about the negative statement that's made at the Mishnah? The Mishnah makes two statements. It says, kol shapsulo kodesh imatamei beitila. And then, loi apsulo b'kodesh imatamei beitila. That second statement, what does that come into include according to Rabbi Yochanan? You have two statements of generalization in the Mishnah. Each one of them should include an additional item. So that was fine for Rabbi Yochanan. You can explain to me the first statement, what it includes. But what about the second statement? Ella what? Ella reisha le'etuyei. The reisha comes to include shchitat kodshim bifnim. We did a shchita of kodshim inside, and sefer le'etuyei milikat chulim b'chutz. The sefer comes to include the milikat chulim b'chutz. So by shchitat kodshim bifnim, which means that if I had a bird, an oaf, inside the mikdash, it's kodshim, that I'm doing in the azarah, which is the proper place for it, but instead of doing milika, I did shchita. How do I know that shchita is mitaheret from being a nevela? That's from kol shepsulo b'kodesh. That was a psulo b'kodesh. This animal should have been fine. It has shchita, it's kodesh, it's done in the mikdash, everything's right, except you did shchita instead of milika. So that is psulo b'kodesh, and that's why it's fine. On the other hand, the seifa, which says, lo haya psulo b'kodesh mitamei b'beit avila, that's a case where you did milikat chulin b'chutz. If you had chulin, something that was totally chulin, that was done b'chutz, outside of the mikdash, and then you did milika. Milika is not shayach with chulin, especially b'chutz. So therefore, since there's no shaykhut whatsoever, that milika is going to make it into a nevela. And there will be mitamei abeit avila, it will be a total nevela. And that's what you have here. Our Mishnah did not discuss these two cases. The case where you did shchita on kodshim bifnim, and a case where you did milika on chulin b'chutz. Our Mishnah only mentioned the other cases, which is here, if you look in the Mishnah, it says shachat chulin bifnim. If you did shchitat chulin, which is the proper thing you should do for chulin, but you did it bifnim. Or kodshim b'chutz. On kodshim, you did shchita outside. Right, that's the other possibility. Again, shchita is proper outside, but kodshim don't belong outside. Over there, you did one thing right and one thing wrong. You did shchita with chulin, which is right, but you did it bifnim, which is wrong. Or you did shchita in kodshim, which is wrong, but you did it, which is fine, because you were b'chutz. Shchita b'chutz is fine, but the kodshim don't belong b'chutz. Over there, he said, there ain't a mitamei v'beit b'liya on the Mishnah. Alright, those were mentioned, those two cases were mentioned. In addition, we mentioned the case where he did milika. He did milikat chulin bifnim. Did milika and chulin inside the azarah. There you have two problems. One is that it was milika and chulin which is wrong, and chulin bifnim is wrong, so both of them are wrong. The other case was when you did kodshim b'chutz. You did a milika on kodshim and chutz. So there again, you have both problems. You milika outside on kodshim, which the kodshim don't belong outside, and milika doesn't belong outside, so they're both problematic. So the Mishnah discussed the case where one was good, one was bad, and said that was fine. Where both are bad, it says that it's not protecting it. The case they didn't deal with was our case over here. One case which is bifnim b'shchita. Now the kodshim do belong inside, but you did it with shchita. So you had one thing one right, one doing wrong, one thing right. Again there, the Gemara is going to say that's fine, and it's not metameh. On the other hand, they didn't discuss the other case, which is milikat chulin b'chutz. Again, there we did both of them wrong. They had the milika, which doesn't belong b'chutz, and you have milika for chulin, which is also problematic. So both of those being problematic, says that will be mitamei k'nevela. So those two cases that were left out of the Mishnah are included by the kol over here. Tosfos points out over here that the Gemara, by including the case of shchitat kodshim bifnim, to say in that case that it's not mitamei, Beit Abliya, Tosfos says here the Gemara shows that there's not an absolute correlation between Kol She'Allah Lo Teireid and the Inyan that it's not Mitamei Beit Abliya. Because in this instance, as Tosfos pointed out before, one of the ways that Tosfos explained Kol Psul B'Kodesh was that the Psul happened after the Zman HaShchita, that the Shchita had to be done properly. Over here, the Shchita is not done properly because it shouldn't have been Shchita, it should have been Milika. And therefore, since it's done wrong here, imala tereid, it'll come down. But nevertheless, it's not mitamei b'nevela. So Tosfos over here, in the Tosfos Latuye Shchita Kodshim Bifnim, points out that there's not an absolute correlation. Umitayma do'ila shchita b'chiyuv kareid. Just because the shchita helps for chiyuv kareid, b'shokach in lomar dimala behema uof sheshachat chutz dikareiv. Elapshita diareid, that you bring it back down, that there is no correlation. Dema inyan zeh lezeh, there is no correlation between them. Ulolam neamar lo yareid elahecha shematzino dugmato kasher bifnim. The only time that we allow one to put something up and then not take it down is if we find a similar situation bifnim. Over here, we never find shchita ta'of bifnim. Shchita ta'of is not found there, so therefore it's tereid. Even though, again, the shchita over here is going to take care of the problem of the veila, it's going to take care of the problem of kodesh, it's going to remove certain isurim over here. Despite the fact that it removes the isurim, imala tereid, you take it down. Zala tereid is not correlated necessarily with this idea of being mitaherim in the veila. It's rather has to do with whether you can find a similar case for a similar situation within kodesh that would be kodesh in such an instance. And we'll end with Tanya Kavetsi, the Rabbi Yochanan, a price that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position, which is Malka Zar, Malka Pasul. If a zar does the malika, or somebody who's pasul does it, a pigul by notar ve'atamei, pigul notar tamei, something that became pigul notar tamei, imitamei beit abliyah. They're not mitamei beit abliyah. So we don't say ex post facto that when you have something becomes pigul notar tamei, it's no longer good for karban. We say retroactively that it became a nevela because it wasn't really kodesh anymore. You did something wrong with it. That we don't say. And same thing with malika bazar, malika pasul. What does that mean? That means that if they did malika, even though the malika is posel, the korban is no good for the korban. Nevertheless, it's mitzaheret from being a nevela. Okay, we'll stop over here.